Okay. Income levels are calculated. You don't. Okay. You didn't want to be there.
I've had better days.
Mind numbing.
I'm calling this meeting of the Community Services Committee to order. It is 3:19. It is starting, and we have a quorum in the presence of Legislator Myers and Legislator Burton and myself. And this afternoon, we're going to be hearing from Grant Mitchell, who is the Commissioner of Community Mental Health and the Acting Commissioner of DSS. Do you want to take a seat at up here someplace? I mean,
sure.
We're such a huge group. I think. Come. Actually, you guys can come up too if you'd like. And you can just identify yourself for the purpose of.
I'm Catherine Woloshka, Associate Commissioner, Social Services.
Welcome.
Karen Pecora, CSEA.
Jennifer Matheny, Supervising Public Health Nurse in the Department of Health, Westchester County.
Karen, are you also, you're in the, aren't you in the Department of Health?
No.
No.
I come from the Parks Department.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But she has release time.
So I'm full release, yeah. I'm on full release, yes.
I'm on no
release. No release.
No release.
No release. Sorry.
I was down Yonkers and now I'm up here. Okay.
Okay. Well, this afternoon we're here to talk about the home care contracts and what's going to be happening with that. So, Dr. Mitchell.
Sure. Just to leave an introduction, I'll maybe I can give you just a quick overview of the what we see as the issues and where we are, where we were and where we are. Having not been part of the full process, which has been going on for years, I'll do my best to get the dates right, but I think you'll get a sense of, I think the issues are more important than the month and the day that things started. But in essence, we have been, for many years, we have had a contract with the Westchester County Department of Health, who has provided personal care services through a contractual arrangement, and that arrangement has been going on for, I don't know how long. Do you guys know how long it's been? Long time.
Yeah, since the 80s.
Okay, so long time. Mm-hmm. My understanding, again, in talking with some of the staff involved, is that in the last couple of years, two, 3 years, some issues started to arise, some concerns that DSS had with regard to what we believed were staff shortages due to retirements and various mm-hmm. other issues. Mm-hmm. And there was some concern about whether the service was meeting the regulatory requirements for the number of visits that need to be made, et cetera, because of the staff shortages. And I know there was a meeting held sometime in 2009 to essentially discuss the issues and to try to get some kind of resolution about really DSS was requesting that additional nurses be brought into the service in order to fill what we saw as some voids. What was interesting was that, and I don't, again, date, when were we notified about the change or the Department of Health pulling out of?
Before July 1st, because okay. we already made a request for legal assistance by July 8th.
Okay. So sometime in several months ago, we were notified by the County Department of Health mm-hmm. that they were going to be withdrawing from this service, providing this service at the end of the contract year, which is the end of 2010. That they would no longer be providing the service. Now, this was not a decision that was made by DSS. I don't believe it was even a request of DSS. I mean, we did request that some gaps get filled. But this was solely the action of the Department of Health, who decided to terminate the agreement at the end of the calendar year. As a result of this, we made a decision, which is something that I think we need to do more of, and I'll discuss briefly the results of it, but we made a decision that we would issue an RFP and look for another vendor who could potentially provide this service in 2011 and going forward. In that RFP, we we sort of asked for the moon, if you will. We decided to make a request that the proposal include all kinds of things that were not necessarily included and paid for in the County Department of Health contract, like coverage for transportation and other things. For example, DSS was paying approximately $400,000 a year for supervision. We basically, in the RFP, said you need to include supervision, you need to include a bunch of things. And our thought was, well, if some vendors come back and say we can't do it, we can't do it. Mm-hmm. We received essentially 11 responses to the RFP, and we had a committee of folks who were responsible within DSS to review the RFPs and to score them and make a decision, a recommendation on who should get the contract. That decision was made, and the announcement, I believe, was it last month?
It was September 20th.
September. So in September, we made a decision. The contract was awarded to VNS of Westchester. And what I will tell you is that the $400,000 that DSS was paying on top of the Medicaid billing, they folded into the contract. It was going to be no cost to us. They decided to include supervision. They decided to include transportation. So there were a number.
You say we've been joined by legislative testers. Go ahead.
Right. So there were a number of costs that DSS or others were covering that were not going to require funding from DSS. So when we saw this, we were really shocked and surprised, pleasantly surprised, that the contract was really going to save us some money in addition to being able to deliver the service. In fact, you may know VNS of Westchester, in our reviews and even talking to Department of Health, agreed that they were, in fact, and are generally an outstanding provider with a great reputation. So our decision was that we would go forward, and that's, you know, essentially bringing you up to speed. It was a more comprehensive coverage. It was less expensive. And more importantly, it was done because the Department of Health backed out, not because we, you know, terminated the contract with the Department of Health. So that's, I don't know if that's a fair summary. Maybe
it's
you
a
want
fair
to
summary. I'd just like to add one additional point. In issuing the RFP, we also requested that the vendor provide coverage when a nurse is on vacation or out ill. In other words, they're responsible for providing a nurse to go out to perform the supervisory visit or the assessment visit, and they have to come up with a plan of how coverage would be provided. We were a little nervous about that. We thought we really aimed for the moon on this one, and we did get it.
They agreed to cover that, something that we don't have in the current contract. So we really felt that this was an excellent opportunity for us to use, you know, a vendor that has a great reputation and to spend less money and get more service. So that's, I guess, a summary of where we are. And that's the resolution that you have before you to consider, which is the contract with VNS of Westchester.
Let me ask you something. Does VNS provide the personal care service as well?
They do not provide the personal care service. They have a small subsidiary that has a small number of cases that does provide such services. However, there is no conflict of interest. We verified with the State Department of Health that these services are perfectly permitted.
Anyone have any questions?
Yeah. Well, there's this letter.
What's the issue?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
To be frank, I'm not sure what it is, because we didn't terminate the contract,
right.
And yet we've had some pushback from Department of Health around this, and I'm not clear why, because we didn't do this, so I'm not sure what the issue is.
Okay. Let me just ask one more question, then I'll open it up. When the Department of Health terminated the service, did they give you any reasons for terminating?
Yes, they were not going to fill the vacancies resulting from the retirement. Mm-hmm. In fact, they left us in a very difficult position for the remainder of the year because the vacancies weren't filled, and we had to use temporary nurses and a temporary staffing service to comply with the mandatory regulatory requirements.
Mm-hmm. It cost us more, actually, to cover.
Okay. All right. Mr. Burton?
I just reiterate my question. I'm not totally sure why we're here.
Okay.
Ms. Myers? Same. I'm not sure. I have heard of some of this through my participation on the Board of Health in terms of sort of an ongoing move for the Department of Health to get out of the personal care, personal delivery health care mm-hmm. business. And I know a number of things have been changed over the years. And I guess it really was started under Commissioner Lipsman. The idea of not running clinics, not running different hands-on kind of, they're not doing flu clinics anymore. Mm. I mean, but it does seem like there's always, it's not just the removal of a support, there's always another support there. At least that's the way it's been presented to the Board of Health always. A lot of the CVSs, et cetera, have stepped in because there's money to be made with the flu vaccines, and it didn't require, I mean, what was happening was that with that instance, the Department of Health was ending up having to pay for flu shots and then donating them because they didn't have enough, there weren't enough bodies who came forward to have flu shots, and they would expire. They couldn't return them unused. Mm-hmm. And the same thing happened with the women's clinic, that all those patients were turned over, this was a number of years ago, to a variety of neighborhood clinics. So this does, I remember hearing about the fact that, you know, even the public health nurses, that they were moving out of that mm-hmm. area of delivery, you know, direct service delivery.
Just to clarify, this is not direct delivery of service. This is approval assessment in order for the vendor to provide the services.
Oh.
It's, yeah. You know, supervision.
It's the assessment and reassessment.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And but the Department of Health had been doing
that. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know also they've been very hard hit with the retirements, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ms. McNamee,
any
comments you
want
to make?
Yeah, thank you. Our department has been doing this program for at least 25 years. I was part of it in the 80s. So we have been the only agency that has done this. It's not taking away from visiting nurse services. I've worked there. I know the people there. I know the CEO there. So it's not about them, okay? It's about keeping a program within the county that we've run from day one. We know the regs. We know how to implement the program. Has the program been fully staffed? No. Chronically, no. Can I talk to you about the billing services and why it's going to cost you less to go out for the service? I don't know. That would be a question for our director of finance, our commissioner of health, because that would be a concern for me, and hearing this now leads me to believe what has been going on and who's been minding the store there. So that concerns me, because we should have brought in the money. We should have met our costs. We should have billed at a rate that we could get supervision paid for. Okay? So that really concerns me. Of course, this is not your problem. This is Department of Health, and they'll have to answer those questions, because if you ask DSS, the people that run the program, they're at a loss of why we would want to give something up like this, because it does generate money, because we're able to bill through our certified home care license. So when we go out and make a visit, we get reimbursed for that. But that reimbursement rate has to be set up appropriately to include all the costs. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I don't know really what to say to you about that.
You were billing at the maximum rate.
Well, again, I can't say that or not. Again, finance is not here, but even your people that run the program don't understand how we can't even make a profit or at least break even.
I just don't understand. I'm just not clear. I'm sorry. I shouldn't interrupt. Okay.
As far as, again, with supervision and so on, we were chronically understaffed. And, you know, that's certainly not the fault of the supervisors who've tried to run the program with a staff that certainly didn't meet the demands of a growing program. This program is growing, and we were always one step pretty much behind. VNSW does have a parent or sister agency, Care at Home, that does provide some of the aid services. So they are in the business of providing personal care services. We as a county department is not in that business. There is no reason for us to increase the amount of hours. There is a possibility that another agency coming in that doesn't know the regs, that don't understand it, will give out as many hours as, you know, because they're not really paying for it. And you know, who's watching the hours? They come back to the office, they're case managers, there's no nurses there to see if VNSW is really providing the service, the number of hours that fit the client that's more cost-effective, not only personal care, but maybe day program, maybe a combination of day program, maybe splitting, and so on and so forth. So again, I don't see them having the knowledge base that we do. You know, getting out of the direct care business, that should concern you. You need to have a safety net, and the safety net is when I get a call at 10 o'clock at night to be on standby for Indian Point. Who's going to do that? You say give up the flu clinics. Well, that flu clinic helped us to continue practice for bioterrorism when it happens. Not if it's going to happen, but when. And that will cost you, the taxpayers, 15%. If you allocate the preventative money to do this, on an ongoing basis, it's going to cost you much less than when you have an event. And this is the safety net. We shouldn't have given up the flu clinics. We should at least vaccinate everybody in the Department of Health, Social Service, Emergency Services. We should then branch out, because we had that bioterrorism grant that was supposed to be so wonderful, and go out to the community agencies and bring them in. The core, the medical core, help me here, the voluntary core, I forget their names.
Oh, yeah. Weavers.
Yeah, Weavers. Mm-hmm. We never really got involved with them. It kind of petered out until the next big event. So if you give up the employees, because we're getting out of the direct care business, you don't have any safety net. And that has to concern you. Again, not only Indian Point, but West Nile. I was called in downstairs when the emergency operation was. SARS, when that came out. Hep A up in Ossining. The swine flu. This is just only my 11th year here, and I'm ticking off some events. Thank God they weren't that bad. Thank God, but... It's not if it's going to happen, but when. And here's a perfect department to keep a core of nurses that their main job will be, you know, doing personal care services, but who are also trained in bioterrorism, radiological, communicable diseases, and so on and so forth. And we've cut, because we're getting out of the direct patient care services. And it's really not right. It's not keeping the community healthy or protected. You know, giving up family planning.
I think
Okay.
I hear your frustration, and I understand where you're coming from. I think, though, one of the problems, and I know, Mr. Burton, you have some comments you want to make. I think one of the problems is this these conversations should have been held with the hierarchy in the Department of Health early mm-hmm. on.
No, we have.
Okay.
But it's hard for, you know, you have to have some buy-in.
Yeah.
And from administration, and it's certainly very hard if you're the lower echelon to ignite a fire under, you know, to show how vital, you know, our Medicaid expenditures are going up and up and up, and we could be looked as that's the gatekeeper, the firewall, the whatever, mm-hmm. and that's why you need an employee of the county to do this. If you're going to continue to give out contracts to independent providers, you need that firewall. Mm-hmm. Because Medicaid is not necessarily doing the quality assurance at the level it should be to ensure that our tax dollars are being spent wisely and appropriately.
I think Mr. Burton, you had some comments you had to make.
Now I know why we're here. We are here because we were taking the provider and making the provider the manager.
Right.
That is not good.
Right.
That we cannot do.
Right.
Who the manager should be, because it would appear that we're going to stick with the provider. Who the manager should be.
I'm saying it has to be, for me, it needs to be it's a medical model, because the nurse, the person that's going in to provide the care is task-related LD. It's hands-on care. Mm-hmm. You can't assume that somebody without a medical background can assume that liability and be able to judge what is safe care and what is not. When we go out there now, there is a nurse and a caseworker. The professional in there is the nurse and not the caseworker. The caseworker goes back and does the social assessment. The nurse goes back and does the physical assessment and come up with the hours.
In another part of our world, we were discussing Section 8 and the
right, I know.
Way management is being, in the view of a number of us, advocated.
Right.
But the provision of the product, in this case the Section 8 voucher and the rest of it, goes on. And
right.
our concern is who is going to provide the administrative services.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a concept of devolution, if you want to, or contracting out. The attention that was not given to the Section 8 issue is what has put us in the soup, and we have a very short window in which to deal with it. We probably won't succeed. In this instance, the thought was given, the time was there. It appears from what Dr. Mitchell has said that the contract for management was in fact given up by DOH.
Well, ultimately the management of the personal care services is rendered by the local social service department.
But the contract that they had let was to DOH, and DOH
right.
gave it up.
Correct.
All right. Somewhere, and I hate the analogy of let's run government like a business, so let's just use the terms of business without
mm-hmm.
getting into that little discussion.
Yeah.
The profit center that the DOH saw in this was apparently not satisfactory. They were administratively incapable of keeping enough staff on for whatever reason.
Yes.
Management at the top may have said, no, we're not going to give you those three
right.
slots.
Yeah.
All right. In which case, the county is basically going against its own, is arguing against its own interests.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. DFS had to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
When it was resigned by DOH, they had the issue to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
If the discussion was held between DSS and DOH, as it appears to have been from what you've said, and everybody was proceeding in with open knowledge, then I can't see that I would do anything other than back what DSS has done. Now, we have to respond to the issue that you've raised, is the continuing safety net, and we have analogies of this all over the place. We need
mm-hmm.
backup going. We have a county police department, for example, that doesn't police the streets, but it does do all of these things, and we have a Department of Emergency Services which does the same sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
How we meet those needs is a very great difficulty. And you're talking as though you're a member of the Emergency Services Department here, rather than the DOH, which is very interesting.
Well, no, because we work hand in hand when FEMA comes in and evaluates our radiological. Right. I'm the supervisor of the group.
But this is terrific, and it may very well be that your unit ought to be in DSS, or DES, rather. I don't know.
Yeah,
But at some point, we certainly can't go against the contract that's been dealt with. I would certainly, I guess if somebody had asked me if I wanted to have the same people managing a program that was the vendor, even if they had a subsidiary doing this, I would probably have raised an eyebrow. That will be for later. But in this instance, it seems to me that we have a process that's been carried out appropriately.
But I'm not only the safety net as far as emergency stuff, but you got a Medicaid expenditure that keeps on growing and growing and growing, and you need somebody within the department to look at these costs, look at these hours that are going out.
Put a check on it. That's why I'm saying that the same company that monitors is providing the services.
Yeah,
there is no incentive to put that check on. That's why you
have
cash balances.
Plus, they have no experience doing this.
Another question. But again, the administration presumably is capable of making that judgment. We would certainly hope so. That DS is doing it for all these years, but again, with DOH as always being the provider, maybe that gland atrophied a little bit.
I will probably disagree with you on that point as far as the number of hours. It's professional nurse that's judging it. Mm-hmm. It's not to say that we've been, I'm not going to get into that, but DSS is not in the position of determining hours. I feel you need a professional nurse that knows what she's doing and how she comes out with these numbers. Again, the Medicaid expenditures keeps on going up in the county. Once you lay off all these workers, the next big pot that you're going to have to go to is looking at your expenditures. Mm. And I've been at a couple of your meetings, and I've heard legislators get up, and this is it needs to be dealt with, and you need that firewall. And I'm saying it can't be the direct contract, the contractor being the firewall, especially without having any.
In the old outsourcing model, you always gave the government employees jobs were being outsourced the opportunity to band together and make a bid. Now, if you don't, we didn't do that, and I'm not really sure there's not a reason for it, is that basically employees are not managed.
Let me just say, some of our retirees have gone on to work for these agencies and potential, but what I'm telling you now, and I don't want to get into any personnel issues, is these individuals needed to retire.
For a reason.
Okay?
I'm drilling down so sufficiently far that's really not the purpose of this committee. I think we've made the points here, the chair will determine where we're going to carry this.
Okay.
I think one of the things we need to do, you said that you did an investigation in terms of whether or not there was a conflict of interest, and you felt that there was none.
That's correct.
Who?
The state.
The state indicated that.
I will concur. Mm-hmm. The regulations do state that this can be done. Mm-hmm. However, I'm sure it's not that it's right to do. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. And it's not to say that the Attorney General's Office will look at this little point, in the growth of Medicaid, to say, listen, it can't be the same provider giving it da-da-da-da. So that's it is allowable. Ridiculously, I was shocked to find this out, too.
I just want to say, if VNSW, first of all, VNSW is not the provider of the personal care services, it's their subsidiary. Subsidiary had had a significant number of personal care cases, we would not have considered them, even though this is permitted by regulation.
I'm also concerned, and I'm glad you brought that up, is that when a nurse goes in under this assessment and reassessment, if the patient is seen needing a skilled nurse for some reason, okay? There's also the possibility of self-referring that
that patient. In other patient words, who refers, does the VNS refer their own person or someone else?
We do realize this.
Yes.
We do have a medical director, Dr. Nigro, who can review the cases. We have the case
He never reviews it going to which CHA. And what I'm saying is there's a level of going to self.
Hold it. Wait a second. We need some clarification.
Certified home health agency. I'm sorry.
The main purpose of this contract is to comply with the requirements. And we've had a very great concern because we are part of the demonstration project with the state, and we have a contract with IPRO to perform Medicaid fraud audits of vendors. And we have been exceedingly nervous about them auditing the personal care providers because we have not been in compliance with the assessments and the supervisory visits. And the audits are strict compliance audits, and payments are disallowed where supervisory visits and assessment visits are not performed in a timely manner. So we can be sanctioned on top of having payments disallowed, and we will have to return payments made to these providers to the state and to the federal government. We cannot discontinue the services, as you obviously realize, because the people receiving these services are very much in need. So we direct the vendors to continue these services, but we know fully well that we have not been in strict compliance.
Let me ask you a question now. How the contract that you have with VNS, it goes from when to when?
It's intended to start January 1st, but we don't have a contract yet. We have a resolution that needs to be approved before we execute the contract. Okay. However, VNSW has already met with us, and realizing that they will not receive any additional reimbursement, they will begin training their nurses in 2010 before the start of the contract.
So in other words, are they training nurses now?
Now.
Now.
So that they'll be ready to start, and because we're running out of time.
Yes, obviously.
So they will be. They say they will be ready.
Yeah. And it's a one-year contract?
It
will be.
5 year. Is it a 1 year?
I have to go back.
I think it's 2005, I believe.
What?
Five years.
The other thing I wanted to mention is that we monitor the concern about Medicaid expenses. We get a report every single month about those expenses, which gives us an opportunity to say there's something going on here. The expenses are, so we have contract monitors in addition to IPRO. We get these. This is every single month, the claims paid, claims pending, the total, the budget, and the variance. So this is not sort of going to blow up over a two-year period, and we're going to wake up one day and say, what happened? Mm-hmm. We look at this every month with this report that we get that tells us where those Medicaid expenses are. Are they growing at an exceptional rate? Is something going on? So we do, just so you know, we internally do that monitoring.
Well, I don't understand how they're not going up based on the hours that is. Well, I'm not going to get into a battle of.
No, this is not first of all. This
no,
is
I'm not.
You wanted an opportunity.
What I'm just
going to
say
out.
Is, I think we could do better than that. If we keep the program, we run it the way that it should be run, full staffing. Okay. It concerns me that there may have been a sanction posed on social services. Why wasn't our health department or commissioner worried enough and ordered the nurses to march over there and start working?
We were worried. We
I know, which concerns me that we, well, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, wait a minute. Through the chair. you've got a lot of frustrations, and I can understand them. I think one of the problems has been that the communication between the Department of Health and DSS was incomplete. To a large extent, and
communicating due to turnover. Too.
Yes,
at the same time,
even among supervisors of DSS.
I was just going to say, and internally, it may have been a problem as well.
It hasn't been, and we requested it So
The fact that they were not available or not listening to you is part of this problem. I think that based on what I'm seeing here. The contract is a five-year duration, with them monitoring
at least on an annual basis, what the expenses and any changes might be. So that, what do you anticipate that this is going to be signed very shortly, I assume? Is,
we hope.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as it gets through, I mean, I think it was referred here.
Yeah, it went through ANC.
It's ANC.
Right, because it really
is. Is it
needs
going to the board?
It's an ANC.
Oh, it's an ANC.
I did go to the meeting, and I know Chairman Ken Jenkins has really requested, what is that firewall going to be? Mm-hmm. How are you going to monitor this VNS or whatever agency? And this once a year is not going to do it. I'm telling you now. You need somebody medical in there. You need somebody who knows the program. You need, this is determining hours. And hours means money. And our expenditures continue to go up. You need that medical nursing component that's not providing the care. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
You're saying is that you need a nursing component that's not tied in with the personal care people. I can understand that.
Correct.
But I also understand that at least the Department of Social Services has done their job in terms of assuring themselves through state regulations mm-hmm. that they are not providing any sort of conflict of interest in this matter. The fact that you have intimate knowledge of how this process should work and how it could work best is something that I think the hierarchy, the administration of the health department, should have been involved with. The fact that they're not involved or haven't been, that they've made this decision already and it's now referred to ANC, perhaps ANC needs to ask some of these pertinent questions.
They probably have.
What is the firewall?
That
was the question.
Yeah, what is the firewall?
Right, but if the state has said
that it is permissible. Do you have anything in writing from the state?
We can provide it to you. We
I think you should
out.
Do that.
Well, it's two things.
Wait a minute, she hadn't finished.
We do have in the department, in our medical services division, a health services coordinator who is an RN uh-huh. who will oversee the entire program.
My understanding is he's currently doing a sub program. Private duty nursing, and now you're saying he's going to take on this whole responsibility. I don't want to get into
personality. It just strikes me. It's just we're now talking about how we operate our department and what we assign people to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm comfortable. I certainly can tell you, I'm comfortable with where we're going. We would have preferred, frankly, to have continued with the Department of Health.
Yeah.
We weren't given a choice,
yeah.
And so we had to cover the service in the best way that we could.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be helpful to the committee if you provided a copy of that documentation from the State Health Department. Karen, Ms. Pecora, were you wanting to make comment on this whole issue, or are you here on another issue?
I was here on another issue, but I just have a couple of questions sitting here. Can you tell me, aside from the money, the extra money that you had to put out since the Health Department pulled out, on a normal year, what is the savings to the county? Can you estimate?
To the county, there would be at least $380,000 for the supervisory payments. That doesn't cover the fringes, obviously, things like that. The cost of the transportation for the visits performed exclusively by the nurses, because the visits that will be joint visits with the caseworkers, they will be using county transportation as they always do, but everything else will be included in the Medicaid reimbursement rate. We do not know how much the Department of Health was spending.
Okay, so you only know you're in social services,
right?
$380 plus the
transportation.
Plus transportation. The main thing is that the vendor will cover all of the required visits.
That's
our
key.
Primary.
The absences, if somebody leaves or is sick, that's covered as well. But again, this wasn't done primarily for financial reasons.
Right.
We're going to get some financial benefit as a result, but that wasn't the main.
Is VNS going to do their own billing?
They're going to bill Medicaid.
Yes.
Okay, so it's not going to be Westchester Finance. Okay. And they are going to be located at 131 Walburton?
That's correct.
Yep.
Okay, so you're also housing them too.
We requested that they be co-located.
Yeah.
We had wanted the OH nurses to be co-located with us, and they had refused.
No, I again, that was out of my hands. Okay.
Okay. We probably should have had somebody from the Department of Health here, as Legislator Myers just suggested, because it would have been a more more expansive and more insightful discussion. But in any case, I think right now the best we can do for this is to pass on this information to Chairman Jenkins and the ANC committee and let them move forward however they deem fit. I thank you for your input, and it brings up this whole question, as Legislator Burton has indicated, this whole question of who is there providing the firewall, not just in this instance, but in all other instances. And in this instance, there seems to be a modicum of protection, but whether or not it may be enough in the long range or not, we're not sure now, but we have the contract, and of course the county is going to act on it. The other instances, like Section 8 and some of the other disputes or differences or move modifications in terms of delivery of service, this whole issue is going to have to be looked at very closely. I'm going to move on now to Ms. Pecora. Do you have do you need Dr. Mitchell and
My issue is the clinics, the mental health clinics. So he's welcome to, to stay. But I'm speaking here on behalf of, the CSE members at the clinics, and they just really would like to have an audience with the committee. So I just really wanted to know when.
I had had contact with them some back in the summer when they talked about there was. I got a few frantic calls from some people indicating that they had heard that their responsibilities were going to be turned over to community-based clinics rather than county-run clinics, and they felt that the services that they offer could not be duplicated in the community health setting, and that it would be a disservice to the patients. We didn't hear anything else until, of course, this morning.
Right. So, so I've been, I'm here just asking if they can, they can come, if they can bring, bring a contingent here just to sit with you and, just to discuss some of the services that they provide to the county residents and the differences that we provide, the county, they do, as opposed to the nonprofits. Mm-hmm. So it really was just to see when your next meeting is scheduled or, we could schedule a meeting.
We are going to have to coordinate now between the various budget hearings, and it's going to be very difficult, frankly. but we'll try to get something set up as soon as possible. But I believe now, I checked my email before I came in here, and I think according to the schedule, there's a meeting time for community mental health.
November 18th.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, fine. So that may be the opportunity at that point for them to come in as well.
Oh, I'm not only the chairman, I'm sure that would be a good idea. It's going to be, community mental health is a budget. How many million?
It's not.
About 70.
Yeah, I don't know that we could shoehorn that in.
No, okay.
I've been considering trying to do an afternoon block of housing, and it might very well be that if we just split the afternoon, if you've got enough issues to go, because Lord knows housing goes.
Yeah.
Because there is an overlap. All four of us are on housing. We could run both meetings.
Right.
And listen to the consumers.
Right.
Well, and everything. I mean, we did consumers today. We did some of the consumers today. Mm-hmm. But there's a series of issues with the Section 8 thing.
Sure.
But we seem to be getting more and more of a group resolution. Sheila, I think, bought into some of the issues having to do with management. And the dealing with the fact that it's a less than 60-day window to get all this together and at least find the answers.
Why don't we do that? Then let's try to set up something where we can
shoot either for Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon. if everyone would be in agreement that we could do that, if that would work out for you, John.
Sure. Mm-hmm. But I'm not on the housing committee.
We'll make it up anyway.
We'll put you on.
Yeah. Well, you're on community services.
Yeah.
So if you, yeah, if you just let me know, and you know, the members will be available anytime.
I will be
you
there.
Can see them.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. I'm sure that
will be similar to the concerns that I brought.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that what I was trying to say earlier was this whole thing has its basis in the firewall concept and who's going to do that and how they're going to be done.
And social services does have a component in the radiological and bioterrorism and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. It's a big, big component because where are you going to house these people and so on and so forth if there's a biological. Yeah. So there's a big component in that too. So that's where. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I think we have minutes.
Yeah,
the committee has the minute.
October 26th. I'll see you in 25 minutes.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I had a chance to.
Thank you.
You know what? I noticed. I think this is what the problem is.
Thank you.
It's actually the memo from Ken that's incorrect.
Oh. Okay.
See, he said, Commissioner Mann indicates there's a DSS contract for home care that was being executed by the Department of Community Mental Health. Mm-hmm. No, Department of Health. Mm-hmm. That has now been sent to RFP.
Mm-hmm.
So
and
that's why he, yeah. It should have been.
This is the Department of Health.
Yeah, it should have been.
But I mean, I know this from Board of Health. I mean, obviously, and this comes down to, it's a theoretical disagreement mm-hmm. about.
Outsourcing.
Yeah.
Well, it's not even outsourcing. Should your Department of Health be
providing
direct care?
As opposed
in the
to
old days, they did, but we evolved, and they are
somebody
viewed.
Somebody need that bag?
Oh.
Viewed now as much more of a.
There's the.
What
are you looking for?
There's a bag over here. You see that bag?
Oh, I'm sorry. I think turned off the tape.
No.
Bill, can you slide that over to me, please?
Yes.
Frankly, I think we have to worry more about. She mentioned West Nile.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into this when we're talking to the departments about the budget, but one of the problems, one of the effects of having less staff is that there's less people power,
mm-hmm.
even if you have them work harder. And one of the things that's we're gonna see cut way back on, because they presented this already to the Board of Health, who was worried, we're gonna be doing much less larvaciding
mm-hmm.
for West Nile,
mm-hmm.
and far fewer inspections of restaurants
mm-hmm.
and food service establishments,
mm-hmm.
because we don't have the people.
Yeah.
So this is something that will come up.
Yeah. Can we approve these minutes and before we go too much further into the minutes?
Okay. Did you move, Judy?
Yeah, I will move them.
I'll second.
Mm-hmm. Right, thank you. Okay.
Anyway, it's...
In my day as supervisor, I presided over a government that outsourced its garbage pickup. And
oh, really?
In discussions with the village of Austin, which did it in-house,
mm-hmm.
the question was, why did we each do it? My costs were lower. The village pointed out that while our costs, the village's costs were higher, they had people on staff when it snowed, when there were street emergencies,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
and that the garbage guys weren't going to show up because A, it wasn't part of their contract, and B, they weren't capable.
Yeah.
And so you get into this tension of
how
do you do it?
And you could have a winter with absolutely no snow, and
yes.
therefore, I mean,
and
it's
a
city. We could have no
emergency.
Right. And as she was saying, that every year she was ticking off issues for over the last decade. There were probably 8 or 9 of them
mm-hmm.
In the decade. Mm-hmm. So does that provide, say you must have this capacity all the time, because while you don't know what's going to show up, something will show up?
What you probably need, I would think, in the event that the emergencies are not something that happen all that often, knock on wood, is a viable, like these community emergency response teams that include mm-hmm. nurses and include medical professionals who will be willing to drop whatever they're doing
mm-hmm.
and go.
That brings up the whole
volunteer
issue.
Firefighters.
It's but exactly it's like a volunteer firefighter.
But the volunteer firefighters are dying off. We can't get them anymore. Right. The whole idea
Nobody
of volunteers is that's
volunteer
the great thing.
Time.
It's this is mm-hmm. you know, we're becoming more urbanized, and so as a consequence, yeah. we can A, deal with the problem, which we B, caused by our intense our density of population, which leads to C, having to pay for it. And we're now going and taking the government in the other direction. We're
well, I guess you, and you also say to people, okay, we hear you, you want less taxes, mm-hmm. but there will be fewer services provided, mm-hmm. and you either fill that void with volunteerism or go without, or we will then return at some point and have to pay for these services.
Do a nice one. So yeah. if we take a West Nile virus because we haven't done the Varda signing, that's the cost of doing business.
Mm-hmm.
It's neither black nor white.
No.
But it, you know, it,
now
it's
last
great,
year we only had four cases of West Nile, yeah. and they believe it was because of all the larvicide. Mm-hmm. This year it'll be targeted larvicide.
And when my wife dies of the West Nile virus, I'm going to be really pissed.
Don't talk.
So
no,
don't talk. I don't mean that person, but I mean somebody I know dies.
Of course.
So how do you balance this?
I don't know. This is how do you make a perfect world?
Well, you know, you're trying to cover certain things.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I mean, there's
this
such
is
a thing as standby, too,
yeah.
you know, that people are paid a minimal
paid
amount to be available when they're called.
But that's,
the volunteer firefighters
cost.
May
it
have
it
to does generate
put a full-time
a
body
cost.
On, but it does put a cost
but that's why somebody said to me recently, and it really did make a lot of sense.
Did you do this? No, did you adjourn?
No,
but at any rate, that if you change the word adjourn? Tax yeah. to services, it would make
Can
more.
Can we adjourn this
more
meeting?
So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Well, that's the idea. You now have a park system.
Thank you.
And you say, I don't.